Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me again today. This is your host, Brother T. We are back with you, blogtalkradio.com/course mastery, the best hour radio show this morning. We are venturing through the workbook lessons of A Course in Miracles. So today is day 36. It's February 5th, 2020. So let's jump right in. My holiness envelops everything I see. Today's idea extends the idea for yesterday, from the perceiver to the perceived. You are holy because your mind is part of God's. And because you are holy, your sight must be holy as well. Quote unquote, sinless means without sin. You cannot be without sin a little. You are sinless or not. If your mind is part of God's, you must be sinless, or a part of his mind would be sinful. Your sight is related to his holiness, not to your ego, and therefore not to your body. Four 3 to 5 minute practice periods are required for today. Try to distribute them fairly evenly and make the shorter applications frequently to protect your protection throughout the day. The longer practice periods should take this form. First, close your eyes and repeat the idea for today. My holiness envelops everything I see. And repeat that idea several times, slowly. Then open your eyes and look quite slowly around you, applying the idea specifically to whatever you note in your casual survey. Say, for example, my holiness envelops that rug. My holiness envelops that wall. My holiness envelops these fingers. My holiness envelops that chair. My holiness envelops that body. My holiness envelops this pen. Several times during these practice periods, close your eyes and repeat the idea to yourself. My holiness envelops everything I see. Then open your eyes and continue as before. For the shorter exercise periods, close your eyes and repeat the idea. Look about you as you repeat it again, and conclude with one more repetition with your eyes closed. My holiness envelops everything I see. All applications should, of course, be made quite slowly, as effortlessly and unhurriedly as possible. Let's take a good deep breath. And as we come to center, let's repeat to ourselves just a couple of times the lesson for today. My holiness envelops everything I see. And now as we open our eyes, let's just look about where we are at this moment for just a second or two here and see what our eyes land on. And repeat the idea to ourselves. And so it is. So we can practice this throughout the day, of course, but the suggestion now, today is the first time that we have been assigned 4 practice periods, 3 to 5 minutes in length. So you can set your smartphone if you care to, and to help you as a reminder. There's no shoulds or shouldn'ts in our spiritual journeys, literally. Spirit is not judging us. We're judging us. And so, you know, I remember when I first started on this spiritual journey, I was really trying to do it right. You know, my ego was convincing me that if I was going to have any success in enlightenment, in experiencing enlightenment, in experiencing awakening mind, I needed to be very disciplined. And I had to do things just right. Like some of our spiritual rituals where we need to turn to the north or the south or the east or the west, or we need to be, prostrate ourselves on the ground, or we need to worship God in a unique way in order for God to recognize our humility. Well, the only one that needs to recognize our true humility is ourself. And it's interesting that this lesson is working to help us to see ourselves in a new way. If we begin to see from the lessons that we've experienced so far that the ego of itself is nothing, we can see how we could be able to humble ourselves as the ego, as the personality self. We can humble ourselves and recognize that if we can truly tell ourselves that the ego self is the self of the I don't know, it's always trying to define, trying to label, trying to categorize and place things in a hierarchy of definition and acceptance of how things are and where they're supposed to be, what bucket we're supposed to put them in, so to speak. You know, this is good, this is bad, this is great, whatever. This is right, this is wrong. All these definitions. And that's how we feel safe in the world as the ego self. But the lesson for today is moving beyond the ego self. And we've spent quite a bit of time already this year looking at the ego self, trying to help ourselves to see it for what it is, that it is a made-up self. Just like the sleeping self at night, it really has no life, does it? It has no life that it has created that is of any truth, because it's just a dream, a made-up idea of not only who we are and where we are, because, oh no, we are safe at home in bed. It's a made-up idea of who we are and where we are, because we're not the body that we seem to be when we're in this dream state of dreaming at night. We're safe at home in bed. If we are a body at all, it would be the body that's safe at home in bed, not the body that seems to be living out a life that is a made-up life. Yes? I was telling my wife this morning that I had a dream last night that we were checking into a hotel and that my mother was there with her best friend, for whatever reason, happened to be traveling with us. And we were checking into a hotel, and in this dreamscape, okay, they were requiring us to watch a 15-minute movie before we could check in. Who knows what that would be for, right? You see, because it's all made up. And I remember talking to my mother's best friend, and in my dream, she was quite young, a grown up, of course, very grown up, if you will. I would say she might have, just in my imagination and remembering the dream, and say maybe she was probably in her 40s. You know, just a grown-up, a young person. But what I would say young to others might not be young, right? So I'm going to just say, as an adult, if we say we're in our prime at, you know, 35 to 45, we look at people, okay, that's an adult. Their body has matured to the adult phase, and it's not old, and it's not young. It's an adult. Can I just say it that way? And so my wife said, well, what age were you? And I said, well, I was just an adult. I was just a human. I was just a grown-up. I wasn't old, and I didn't see myself as young. And, of course, I don't see mirrors, and I don't really see myself in my dreams. And I don't see myself as old, and I don't see myself as young in my dreams. I've noticed that I just see myself as me, as a grown person, right? I have no idea what the 15-minute video was for. And does it matter? Was it real? Was there something of great importance to be learned before we could check into the hotel that didn't really exist with my mom and her best friend, who, by the way, is still alive, but quite old now, approaching 90, and wouldn't look at all like the one I saw in my dream last night, but she was exactly who I saw her to be as an adult. The dreaming self is not the real self. Can we agree? Yes. We can clearly see that the dreaming self is not the real self. I mean, the real self in the sense that it has a life that is, quote unquote, our life, because when we wake up, we realize all that's just a dream, that the dreamscape itself was a construct of mind, it was illusion, it was images, it was a video story that's being played out in my mind, if you will, just a story with all the dramas. But it has no effect. No one was affected by it. It was just an imagination in my mind. So we could say that if that is the ego self right there, and we can watch it doing its thing, if we step back and look at the dreaming self, that we can kind of watch that mind doing its thing, just making stuff up, defining what things are, what situations are, whether or not they're important or not important, serious or unserious, laughable or something to cry or be sad about. And then we wake up, and what is going on? Nothing. It's not our quote-unquote real life. And then we realize it was just a dream. End of story. End of dream. And then we awake, and we're free from any and all drama that might have ensued during the course of our sleep. This lesson says, when we wake up, we could begin to realize our true self, our true holiness. Yesterday's lesson, you might recall, simply said, my mind is part of God's. I am very holy. That's the true self, and that self is really something to be excited about. That is not the sleeping self at night and all of its dramas and dreams. And in reality, in truth, that is not the ego self, the self that we appear to be as the personality, ego, body, mind self that we're experiencing life through here yet today. That is also not our true self. But there is a spiritual aspect to us, a part of God. My mind is part of God's mind. I am therefore holy. If God is holy, I'm holy. You see how he brings sin into the question, into the conversation here, and raises the question, if you are part of God's mind, you must be, therefore, sinless. The whole construct of sin, then, is irrational, ridiculous, because God is not a sinner. God is perfect, and so, therefore, as a part of God's mind, you must be perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. There's no ideal self, as we talked yesterday, to pursue. That's a lie that we tell ourselves and that the world confirms and says, no, this is true. You need to work on yourself. There's stuff for you to do today to make yourself better. What could it be? Now, I'll argue this point, if you will allow it. I don't think there's anything wrong in taking care of the body temple, the body self, because it is our vehicle, but it only has one purpose, as we'll learn in the textbook and we'll be discussing in the lessons. The body is a communication device. And until we awaken, and as we begin to awaken, that's the body's purpose, is to help us to discover ourselves. And so this seems very oxymoric, if I can use that term, if I'm saying that properly. It is very kind of strange, but you see, nothingness cannot know itself. You cannot know nothing, if I can put it that way. And we could also say that the all that is all could not know itself either, unless there was a construct, I'll put it this way, of separation. We are self-knowing self through a construct of separation, literally. I can see you in relationship. We could know each other. We could be in a room together and see that we are separate, yet we can know each other because we are separate. And at the same time, we are of one thing. We are a part of the mind of God. And as a part of the mind of God, the truth is, my mind is a part of God's, and I am holy, very holy, and my holiness envelops everything I see. Because everything I see is also the all of God, the all that is also in everything that I'm experiencing. I'm seeing myself, the one in the many, the one self. So as we're beginning to drill down into this almost, it's a paradox. And that's why we've been able to fool ourselves so easily and so successfully to believe ourselves to be, in fact, then separate from God, to be separate from each other and all things. But the truth is, that's impossible, because we are a part of the one mind. We are all one in mind, in God, the all in all. But that also then is unknowable, except through union and relationship with each other, relationship with things. Look around your room. Everything that's there is in relationship with you right now. It is, as we've talked in earlier lessons, resonating with you at some level. It is in alignment with you. You have attracted it, and you have aligned with it to be in your experience. It must be in alignment with you on one level or another. And so you are in union and relationship with everything you see. And in union and relationship, you can know yourself and you can know God. A paradox? Absolutely. Difficult to understand? Yes. Difficult to communicate? Even more so. I'm sure you notice I'm struggling. Because my mind is wanting to resist the conversation. Because a part of my mind believes itself to be separate, that ego self. And the skeptic within me wants to say, well, how can any of this even be true, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a place in my heart, there's a place in my being that knows this is truth. We are not learning something new here in A Course in Miracles. We're remembering what we know and have forgotten. A Course in Miracles is calling us to remember the truth of who and what we are. My holiness envelops, therefore, everything I see. If I am holy, and if everything is a part in the mind of God, if everything in my dream last night, if everything in my dream last night was a part of my mind, and I assure you that it was, it only existed in my mind. Ideas leave not their source. If that is true, and I assure you it is, then everything that I was in my dream last night was a part of me. And if we are therefore in the mind of God, ideas in the mind of God, ideas of love, if my mind is part of God's mind, I am verily very holy. My holiness envelops everything I see, because everything I see is also a part of me, and therefore must be a part of God, and therefore must be also, hello, holy. And because my view of it, in other words, me giving it my awareness, my eyes resting on it and seeing it, whatever the ego may do to identify it and give it meaning and give it definition and all that, it doesn't matter. My holiness envelops everything I see. My holiness envelops that rug, that wall, these fingers, that chair, that body, this pen. My holiness is one with God. A paradox? Difficult to understand? Indeed. But it doesn't make it so, or not, excuse me, not so. It's the truth is, whether we grasp it or not, and whether we grasp it or not doesn't change it. What does change, however, when we refuse to accept truth, is that we are part of creation in the sense that we are the extension of the mind of God as creator, and so therefore we are experiencing the misalignment, the misperception of truth. If we believe something to be other than what truth is, then we experience that as well. And as far as I'm concerned, I would add, we are just adding to our own confusion, keeping ourselves deluded, keeping ourselves in a dream state like we did last night, all night while the body was resting. So this lesson is taking us from the idea yesterday, from the perceiver to the perceived. So now we've gone from the inner work of looking at ourselves and saying, my mind is a part of God's, I am very holy. That's an inward journey, yes. Now we're looking outside ourselves to the perceived. So that was the inward journey, looking at the perceiver. And today we're looking at what is being perceived. The desk, the pen, the hand, the door. What's outside the window? The room that we're in, the body that we're in, appear to be in, I should say. My holiness envelops everything I see. So I find it very helpful to review the dreams I have, if I can remember them when I wake up. I think it's a good idea to journal. I think it's very helpful to journal. I'm not good at it. I'm not consistent at it, but if we can jot these things down when we first wake up and then kind of examine the dreams that we have at night through the lens of A Course in Miracles, we can begin to see, at least at a very minimum, that everything that it's saying fits perfectly with that sleeping self that's dreaming at night. I mean, it fits perfectly. And once we can really begin to grasp that illusory nature of the sleeping self's construct of reality, we can begin at least to see that it is possible, is it not, that experience is continuing even now, because that is this teaching, of course, as he tells us in a textbook, and we will be reading in the workbook lessons as well, that we are always dreaming. But God chooses not to dream. These are our dreams. Because our mind is a part of God's, we can and do create in this dream of separation, which is indeed exactly what it is. The metaphor of the Adam and Eve story in the Garden of Eden is just a metaphor, but it is the beginning of the dream of separation. And in the Bible, it even says that they fell asleep. And nowhere does it talk about where they woke up. Have you noticed? Did anyone share that with you? So now you know. It's absolutely possible. When we look at the state of dreaming, we can see the pure, perfect logic of A Course in Miracles and how it can be applied there. And then if we can expand upon that and realize that our waking hours are just another level of dreaming, we can begin to see the illusory nature of this experience, just like the illusory nature of the experience we have when we're sleeping at night. And this is profound. For me, I'm sharing my own experience that there is then another dimension, if you will, to awaken to. And we could call it, in our dreaming self at night, a lucid dream where we literally wake up in the middle of the dream and realize, oh, I'm dreaming. And so now I can begin to see that I can actually control my experience. I can fly without an airplane. I can hover across the ground. I can levitate. I can be anywhere instantaneously. What can I do in a dream? Anything I can imagine. What are we doing right now in a dream? Exactly what we imagine. And what we imagine is based on what we believe is possible. And so we are experiencing it. And in our world today, in this time of that has been sped up, we talk about instantaneous manifestation. I think I touched on it just briefly yesterday, but the point is that are we not manifesting things almost instantaneously now? I mean, think about it. You can log onto your computer and ask a question and get a response immediately. I mean, like instantaneously, of almost anything you want to know about. And we look back, you know, 2,000 years ago, and Jesus was able to manifest this and manifest that, and, you know, everybody was in such a state of marvel. And then we kind of take it for granted now. But we're doing it all the time. We've already elevated our consciousness to the point where we can manifest instantaneously a lot of things. You get hungry, you can manifest food pretty quick. Go through the drive-in. Now, it may not be the best food for your body, and this is where it comes back to being at least somewhat responsible for our bodies. There's nothing wrong in taking care of the body. In fact, I think it's a really good idea. If you want to help the mind to awaken, then keeping the body in quote-unquote tip-top shape is only de-stressing and alleviating the body and the mind so that they can become better servants for you in your journey towards self-realization. And that's why we're studying A Course in Miracles, to help ourselves in our journey towards self-realization. I love you, my brothers and sisters. Your holiness envelops everything you see. Stay the course. We'll be back tomorrow.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea.